This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that exists to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Let's pray. God, we do thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word that speaks a challenge to us. God, we ask that you would open our hearts, and our ears, and our minds to hear from you this evening, God. Would you be present among us tonight, Lord? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Good evening. My name's Dean Behrens. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Church, and tonight, as Patrick said, we remember and we celebrate the last night that Jesus spent with his followers before he went to his death. That night that Jesus spent with his disciples was marked by two big events. One was the institution of the Lord's Supper, which we'll celebrate in a little bit. And the others was a washing of feet, this powerful moment where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And for now, I want to reflect on that foot washing, and I want to particularly look at this odd exchange between Jesus and Peter. What started out that night as a typical Passover celebration took a jarring turn when Jesus got up from the table, removed his outer garments, and began preparing to wash their feet. There were no doubt confused glances exchanged between the disciples as Jesus began to do that. They were not totally unfamiliar to this kind of ritual. The disciples and everyone had their feet washed regularly, just like this, at every proper meal and gathering that was hosted well. The difference, though, was in who was doing the foot washing. Customary foot washing like this was performed only by servants, and actually it was reserved for the lowest of servants. Jewish law had forbid actions like this one that Jesus was about to perform. It's really hard for us to imagine the scandal of Jesus' actions that night in washing their feet. You know, this was an honor-shame culture, and it was extremely controversial for Jesus to remove some of his clothes and to get down on the floor and begin touching and washing their very dirty feet. It was a scandal. But here is what's interesting to me. The disciples had witnessed Jesus breaking all kinds of Jewish laws and customs. They had willingly participated many times themselves, breaking the Sabbath. There's this scene where they're rubbing heads of grain together, which was not permitted on the Sabbath. The disciples willfully joined in with Jesus in breaking the Jewish laws. They would join Jesus at these parties, socializing with sinners. They knew that Jesus was a rule breaker. So why then does this event become the point at which they say, no, 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 hold on, Jesus, you've crossed a line? Why this one? They knew Jesus. They knew he was a rule breaker. In the exchange, Jesus begins, you know, preparing to wash feet, and he comes to Peter, and Peter says to Jesus, you wash my feet? No, I won't allow it. You have gone too far. And Jesus' response is, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus makes clear in this passage, you know, throughout the passage, that we are to even love one another and serve one another by a kind of washing of feet, a kind of selfless love for one another. But his washing, Jesus' washing was different. It was a particular kind of selfless love and service. His washing was not a generic serve one another. Jesus' washing had a much more significant meaning. Jesus washing their feet was a powerful image to illustrate his personal cleansing touch. He was showing them that he desires to wash them clean. He was scrubbing their feet, but he was thinking about their hearts. He wants to uncover the darkest, filthiest parts of them and wash away the dirt and the caked on mud. This is the image of what he wants to do in there, in all of our hearts. Let me in, he's saying. Get vulnerable with me. Uncover your feet and I will make you clean. If you're thinking tonight, well, I am clean. I'm a Christian. I've already let Jesus in. I think Jesus is pushing back on that, saying, look, getting clean isn't entirely a one-time thing. He says to the disciples, you're already clean, but I want more from you. You need to keep returning to me for cleansing, for forgiveness, for healing. Keep coming back. It's not enough that you have taken a bath with something that was not as regular of an occurrence then as it is for us now. Jesus is saying, I want you to keep coming to me for ongoing cleansing and forgiveness. This is an ongoing submission, a returning to Jesus over and over and over for forgiveness, the cleansing of sins. And in that sense, we need that daily, renewed washing. We need to sit patiently as he humbles himself, looks intently at our darkest places, and covers them again and again with his forgiveness. This is what Jesus requires. Let me wash you. So I'll come back to my question. Why, Peter was resistant to Jesus that night. He refused at first. Why? Why does he draw the line here? I think it's because it was getting personal for Peter. You know, again, as I had said, they broke the religious laws with him. They had seen him halt a justifiable stoning. They had watched him heal people on the Sabbath. But that night, Jesus turned the focus of his power and grace on them. And they said, no, hold on. We, I would make the case, are not all that different. We'll celebrate God doing his work, doing his ministry in the lives of others and in the world. But when he turns to us, we say, well, hold on. So I ask, why do you resist letting Jesus wash you? It's an important question. I think many of us hold Jesus at arm's length. We, like Peter, refuse to let him come in and scrub out the buildup of sin that's created in our hearts and lives. And that has big implications for our relationship with the Lord. Jesus clearly says in this passage, unless you let me wash you, you have no part with me. So in my reflections this week, I was thinking about three basic reasons why we are resistant to Jesus washing us. Three reasons why we don't want to allow him to touch us and to clean us. My hope is that tonight those might even serve as kind of devotional filters for us as we participate in the foot washing. So let me go through those three reasons. First reason why I think we resist Jesus' cleansing touch is what I will call too high a view of self. Too high a view of self. We don't want him to wash us because we don't think we need washing. We refuse to recognize the sin and brokenness in our lives. We go about our Christian lives feeling relatively righteous. We pat ourselves on the back for our small moral victories, assuring ourselves that we're actually good people, and clean people don't need to be washed. And then if we do become aware of an area that needs forgiveness, an area of sin and brokenness, and we have too high a view of ourselves, we assure ourselves that we can manage it. I can take care of it. I'm strong enough or resolute enough to fix myself. In other words, I'll do my own self-washing. When you see an area of sin in your life, you tell yourself, well, that was the last time, and you grit your teeth to succeed the next time. The first reason why we resist is because we have too high a view of ourselves. And Jesus says to those of us with an inflated view of ourselves, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Maybe the emphasis on the line for those of us that have too high a view of ourselves would be, unless I wash you. I am the one. I am the only one. You know, we are all in desperate need of washing, and we cannot wash ourselves. The Bible makes it clear. Psalm 49 says that we cannot save ourselves. Isaiah tells us that even the righteousness that we do have is like filthy rags. Our hearts are stained with sin. And Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Reason number two that I think we're reluctant to let Jesus wash us is what I'll call too low a view of Jesus. In this view, we're deeply aware of the areas that we do have that need cleansing, but our reluctance comes from a struggle to believe that Jesus can actually do something about it. We've grown comfortable with our sins, and we shrug off God's desire or his ability to do something with them. We just internalize our sins. We accept them as, hey, this is just a part of me. This is just who I am. The patterns that we have etched into our hearts and lives seem irreversible. And so we just try to learn to cope. We work around them rather than let God deal with them. We become complacent with the sin in our hearts. Now, the person from Scripture that comes to mind for me is the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler knew his vice. He knew the power that sin held in his life, but he wasn't willing to let Jesus have it, to deal with the dirt in his heart. Sometimes we have too low a view of Jesus. And Jesus says to those of us with that view, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Maybe the emphasis for those of us in that view would be wash. Unless I wash you, I can make you clean, he's saying. You don't need to bear these sins any longer. I'm offering to scrub you clean, white as snow. Jesus isn't content to leave us in a kind of halfway cleansing. He wants to forgive and heal every part. Third, last reason that I think we're reluctant to let Jesus in to wash us is because we have too low a view of ourselves. This, I think, is where Peter was at. When we have this view, we don't want to allow Jesus to wash us because we are too unworthy, we think. We think ourselves so lowly as to not deserve his cleansing touch. Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not advocating for a high view of ourselves, clearly, or an inflated view. It's true, though, that we are unworthy to be loved and forgiven by the Lord. That's true. However, there is a shame that can set in that will ultimately keep us from Jesus. It will cause you to flee from his presence rather than to be drawn to it. No, Jesus, you cannot wash me is not an ultimately acceptable posture with the Lord. To those of us that have too low a view of ourselves, Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Maybe the emphasis on that phrase for those of us that have too low a view of ourselves would be part with me. Part with me. You know, for Jesus to say, unless I wash you, you have no part with me, means that if I do wash you, you do have a part with me. You know, Jesus left his place in heaven. He's come down to live among us and suffered and died to have us so that we can share in him, so we can experience the joy of heaven with him, so that we can be folded into Christ. so we can experience the inseparable love of God just like Jesus. So we can experience the newness of the nearness of God through Jesus. We can have our part with Jesus. That is very humbling, but it also casts out shame. While it's true that we are unworthy, it's also true that God has placed worth on us. He has placed on you the value of his son's own life. He spent the life of Jesus so that he can have you. So don't shy away from his cleansing touch. Seek it. Seek it. Tonight we're going to engage in a symbolic practice of having our feet washed. In it, we submit ourselves to the cleansing touch of the Lord. We lay down and reject the idea that we are good enough to do it ourselves. That's the high view of self. That our sin is too strong for him. That's the low view of Jesus. Or that we're so broken that we can't allow Jesus to come in. That's the too low view of self. So I encourage you to ask God tonight to show you what, if anything, is causing you to resist his cleansing, healing, forgiving touch tonight. Practically speaking, I encourage you to remove your socks and shoes before you come forward. Whenever you are ready and you see an open station, you can come forward. And just take a seat. Everyone is welcome to participate in this part of the service, but if it makes you uncomfortable, no one is required to. Whether or not you come forward, I encourage you to ask God and think on this idea of what, if anything, is causing you to resist God's healing touch. Okay? So give us just a minute to get set up here, but when you are ready, I encourage you to humbly but boldly come forward and let Jesus wash you tonight. Amen.